This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
اللهم صل وسلم وزد وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. جزاكم الله خيرا to مركز الإمام أحمد for giving us an opportunity to share some very important insights about a very, very important topic tonight. My installment tonight, inshallah ta'ala, is about maintaining a very healthy marriage. SubhanAllah, when we look at the Muslim community, one of the biggest problems that we have, or the mashayikh face, is that to do with the family unit, to do with marriage and those marital issues. I know in the Western world they say that when you go from one stage of your relationship to the next, you take on three rings. And the first ring, they said, is the engagement ring, and then they have the wedding ring, and then they said, then comes the suffering. So maybe there's a lot of truth to that, but subhanAllah, what's beautiful about Islam is that Islam really, as Sheikh Abu Adnan highlighted, really is a comprehensive way of life. And if we follow the teachings of the Qur'an and the Sunnah, and inshaAllah ta'ala, we should not go astray and find ourselves in dilemmas and the problems that we face. 20 minutes is not going to do any justice to this topic, but inshallah ta'ala, I'm going to do my best to share with you the cream of the issues, or the cream keys or tips to a very healthy marriage. Now, it is very, very important that you are in a very healthy marriage. If you're not in a healthy marriage, then you are most likely it's going to have a ripple effect. It's going to impact you yourself, your own sanity, your health. It's going to impact your loved ones. It's going to impact your career. It's going to impact your financial situation, and the list goes on. So there is a ripple effect if you are not in a healthy marriage. Now, when it comes to divorce, and the common question that I get is, what's the main reason for divorce? What's the major reason, or why do people get divorced? And subhanAllah, every time somebody asks me that question, I pause, because you think that there's one major reason. But subhanAllah, when I studied and I looked at the reasons of divorce in a recent statistic that studied divorce cases of Muslims around the globe, they came up with 15 reasons. 15 reasons why that are major reasons. And subhanAllah, the percentages were very, very similar. But the number one reason for the divorce is loss of trust and respect. Loss of trust and respect, where there's no more trust in the issue, in the marriage. Number two was abuse, physical abuse and mental abuse. This is the second reason why couples are getting divorced. And then we move on to things like lack of commitment to the success of the marriage. So once the hunt is over, you found your other half, then there's no more commitment to that success of the marriage. No more making that serious effort that you did to try and get that person. So lack of commitment. Another reason, for example, is communication. Another reason is family interference. Families interfering with the marriage. Another reason is compatibility. Another reason is selfishness. You're not thinking about the other half. And the list goes on. And for each one of these points, we can probably have a lecture. So, subhanAllah, a healthy marriage, where does it begin? It actually begins before the marriage. A healthy marriage begins before the marriage itself, in the spouse selection process. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has outlined to us the criteria when looking for a husband or looking for a wife. So for example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Takhayyaru linutafikum." He said, choose for your seeds. In other words, choose a good parent. So one of the things that you need to be thinking about when you come to marry someone you're about to, you're going through the courting process is, do I want my children to end up like that man? Do I want my children to end up like that woman? If the answer is no, then why are you proceeding? Because the children are most likely going to turn out like their parents. So this is a very important question. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, for example, he said, إِذَا جَاءَكُمْ مَنْ تَرْضَوْنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ فَزَوِّجُوهُ إِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضُ فَسَادٌ كَبِيرٌ. That if a suitor comes to you, a potential husband comes to you, and you are pleased with his deen and with his akhlaq. Notice how the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said here, religion and akhlaq and manners. فَزَوِّجُوهُ. Give your daughter, give your sister in marriage to this man. And if you don't do so, there's going to be a great deal of corruption in this earth. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, تُنْكَحُ الْمَرْأَةُ لِأَرْبَعَ. That a woman is married for one of four reasons, or one of four things. For her لِمَالِهَا, for her wealth, لِجَمَالِهَا, for her beauty, for her lineage, for her deen. And then he summed it up and he said, فَغْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ تَرِبَتَ دَاتِ. He said, go for the one with the religion and you will prosper. Now so notice how you can marry for different reasons. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best thing to go for is the deen. But is that the only thing that you're going to go for? No, it's not. Because elsewhere, we have the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, he said, تَزَوَّجُ الْوَدُودَ الْوَلُودَ فَإِنِّي مُكَاثِرٌ بِكُمْ الْأُمَمَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. He said, marry the woman that has a loving nature, that is able to bear children, for I will display the outnumbering of the other nations on the Day of Judgment. So it's not just about looking at the deen, it's about compatibility. Are you compatible with this person? Or are you just trying, because you're in a state of, you know, you're getting older, you really want to get married so very quickly? And this is the problem that we have. There needs to be compatibility. There are compatibility tests that you can do. There are personality tests. Does that personality clash with your personality? There's a lot of things, and inshallah, with the courses and that you'll hear about in the upcoming months, inshallah ta'ala, these courses will highlight and help you with the spouse selection, inshallah ta'ala. So it is very important to understand that you need to do your due diligence. What does that mean? It means you need to do your homework about that person. It needs to do your homework about marriage and what to expect in a marriage. You know, one of the reasons of divorce is failed expectations, where you enter a marriage because you've got all of these expectations, or you've got a fixed template, or you've got this imagery, this blueprint of how you want the marriage to look like, when in reality, that's not really that the person that you have married is, or is not that person that you had in your mind. And so another problem that we have is whereby the brother, for example, he wants a sister. He wants a sister who she must have hijab, she must have deen, she must have good body, she must have, and she must have, and she must have. And the brother doesn't have much of the criteria that she is looking for. So the question to ask yourself in spouse selection, if you're looking for an amazing woman or an amazing man, the question is, do you fit the criteria that type of person is looking for? That's a question that you need to ask yourself as well. So it is very, very important that you take your time. SubhanAllah, when we look at our community, when it comes to, for example, when it comes to our careers, many of you are professionals, academics, tradespeople who spent many months, many years to become professionals. How much time, how much money are you spending on investing on one of the most important parts of your life? Because as I said earlier, it's going to come back and it's going to have a ripple effect on everything that you are trying to build. I've seen people lose their sanity. I've seen people lose their wealth. I've seen people become depressed for so many years and become unproductive. That's what can happen. This is the reality. This is what's going to happen if you do not do your due diligence and if you do not do your homework. So it's very, very important. You know, once I was doing I have a course which is a premarital course. And one of the brothers was sitting with me and he was doing the course. At the end of the course, he said, you know, why should we really be doing this course when the Sahaba never did this course? They never had like pre-marriage counseling or guidance. They just got married. I said to them, well, we live in two different eras. We live in two different times and places, because in their time, they never had those high expectations. It was for them, it was more about survival and just making ends meet and day to day and just moving on and with the job. But for us, we already live in affluent lives, and so we are going to naturally become very, very picky. And so this is why a course like this, in some parts of the world, like Malaysia, for example, or Singapore, you're not allowed to get married unless you've done some sort of training, unless you've done some sort of course that will help you in the future. And wallahi, those people who sat for that course, they find it very, very beneficial in the years to come. So it's very important to be in a healthy marriage. Because when you're in a healthy marriage, guess what? You're emotionally fit. You're emotionally fit, because if your emotions are negative, think about it like this. If you have negative emotions, right, are you going to be the output or the productivity? Is it going to be positive or negative? Most likely it's going to be negative. So yes, here we are, you know, worried about our physiques, worried about our bodies, worried about our careers, but we've forgotten that emotional fitness is very, very important in moving forward in our lives, inshallah ta'ala. So it is important that you do yourself and your future self a favor with the spouse selection, inshallah ta'ala. So for amongst the things that you might want to consider is attraction. Is there attraction? I've met brothers that married sisters out of goodwill and good intentions, and the sisters got deen, and then he calls me up and he says to me, I'm not attracted to her. And subhanAllah, and then you can just imagine the problems that will come after this. So that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to one of the Sahaba who was getting married, he said, did you look at her? And he was talking about the women of the Ansar, and how the women of the Ansar, they were known for their small eyes, and you know, generally speaking, men like women with big eyes. So this is something, yani, this is where the starting point is. Is there an attraction? And moving forward, compatibility. So are you compatible with that person? And that's where this compatibility that come into this. Can you satisfy their needs? They have different types of needs. Physical needs, spiritual needs, emotional needs. These are questions that you need to answer. You need to be talking and finding out what is the vision of this person moving forward in the relationship. What about living with the in-laws? Do you know how many problems? You can't have two queens in one house. You can't have two kings in one house. Do you know how many problems there are when it comes to living with in-laws? And more so here, I'm talking about the woman or the wife living with her husband's parents. Massive problems. Have you thought about that? Have you spoken about that? This is another issue that we come up with. So the Islamic position moving forward is, do your istishara. Istishara means consultation. Ask about that person. Do your due diligence. Do your homework about marriage, about that person. Moving forward, you're doing istikhara. So once you've ticked all the boxes, if you haven't ticked all the boxes, don't bother going to istikhara. But once you've ticked all the boxes, you move on to istikhara. And what's istikhara? Two rak'at other than the fard. And then the dua istikhara, you'll find it in Fortress of the Muslim, or Google it, or you find it in an app. And that's where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may show you signs. Very clear signs that you should not be proceeding. The red flags go up. So, istishara, istikhara. And then we have azm. Once you've done your istishara and your istikhara and things are looking good, don't hesitate, move forward. Because now the shaitan is playing his role. Doesn't want you to move forward. So you have this azima and you move forward, and then you have tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so where does, now you've moved forward and you've gotten married, where does the success begin? The success begins with taqwa Allahi azza wa jal. And this is the operative word, taqwa. Because when you go back to surah al-talaq, which means divorce, Allah azza wa jal in this very surah, al-talaq, he mentions taqwa, according to my calculation, at least four times. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. That whoever has taqwa Allah, Allah provides a way out of difficulty. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ. And he mentions, يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا. that whoever has taqwa Allah, Allah's going to make things easy for him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and He mentions again and again this word taqwa. And if you want a good life, and you want a happy life, elsewhere in the Qur'an Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَ وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. That whoever does good deeds, male or female, and they are believers, good deeds, beginning with your fara'id, beginning with your obligations, male or female, and they are believers, having the correct aqidah, having the correct belief, Allah says, we will grant them a goodly life. That's where the happiness is going to start in your marriage. Not that you start off on a $20,000 or $30,000 or $50,000 wedding that is built upon haram. You need to start your marriage on a solid foundation. A solid foundation. Don't start anything on weak foundation. You can't build on weak foundation. It's going to collapse. Don't do it. Don't compromise. And so this is really the starting point after the marriage. Beginning with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and taqwallah. Then learn about your spousal obligations. Yes, you as a husband, you are as a husband have been instructed by Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, and treat women with kindness. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was on the mountain of Arafat, and he was in front of over 120,000 people, he said, اِسْتَوْصُ بِالنِّسَاءِ خَيْرًا, take good care of women. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَتِي, all of you are shepherds, all of you are responsible for your flock. And so on and so forth. Find out what your duties are, and man up. You want to get married? Married, with marriage there comes accountability, there comes responsibility. If you're not up, if you're not ready for marriage, then fast. That's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, مَنْ إِسْتَطَاعَ مِنْكُمُ الْبَاءَ فَلِتَزَوَّجْ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَعَلَيْهِ بِالصَّوْمِ. If you cannot afford, and you know you're not going to give a woman her rights, don't get married. You may be causing injustice and oppression. And so when it comes to a woman, what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِذَا صَلَّتِ الْمَرْأَةُ خَمْسَهَا وَصَامَتْ شَهْرَهَا وَحَفِظَتْ فَرْجَهَا وَأَطَاعَتْ زَوْجَهَا قِلَ لَهَا أُدْخُلِ الْجَنَّةَ مِنْ أَيِّ أَبْوَابِهَا شِئْتِ. But if a woman prays her 5 daily prayers, and she fasts her month, the month of Ramadan, maintains her chastity, is obedient towards her husband, it would be said to her, enter Jannah through whichever of the gates you wish to enter through. And one of those 4 things is to obey her husband. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the husband as the caretaker, as the leader in the household. And so, also very important, from the beginning of the marriage, define your definition of love. What's your definition of love? How do you want to be loved? No guesswork. Spell it out in no uncertain terms. Tell your spouse, these are my standards. This is the way I want to be loved. And love your spouse the way that they love to be loved, as long as it does not compromise the teachings of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. He has put between the husband and wife love and mercy. Love is a verb. For there to be love, there needs to be actions. But don't forget the rahmah as well. That you have to have mercy, because sometimes the love tank levels are low. And so this is where the rahmah tanking kicks in. And so yes, there needs to be, inshallah ta'ala, a definition of what your definition is of love. When you first get married, it's all about selection. When you first get married, you're looking for things that you have in common, right? After you get married, then there needs to be a lot of variety to take your marriage to the next level. Be, have a date night. Have, for example, a time of the year where you go away. Lots of communication with your spouse. Quality time with your spouse. A gift. These are all from the teachings of Islam. And so, also, don't, subhanAllah, when it comes to standards, a lot of the couples that I meet, so I'll give you an example. A sister comes to me and she says, my husband, he's been abusive towards me, he's been yelling at me, he always swears at me. I said to him, how long has he been doing that for? She says, he's been doing that for years. And then she's come at a point where she just wants a divorce, she wants the khulu', and she wants out, and that's it. She's not having anything, any part of it. And I said to her, did you act the way you're acting right now in front of me? And you're taking massive action. Did you do that 10 years ago? She didn't. So what did he do? So he continues to act that way because she hasn't reacted. So to my sisters, we say, if you're in an abusive marriage, if you're in an unhappy marriage, take action. Take massive action to get the desired result. Otherwise, he's going to continue to do it because he's getting away with it. You allow him to get away with it. And so many case studies. But there's no time for that. Last point, inshallah ta'ala. Don't allow your problems to reach boiling point. So what happens? The problems are building up. This is what we call the three R's. At the first level, there is the resistance. So there's a problem between a husband and wife. And one of the two is resisting to talk about the problem. Resisting to deal with the problem. Why? I love him too much. I don't want the boat to rock. I don't want to really, make a big deal out of it. I don't want to look like, I'm the one that's creating a problem. So they resist to talk about it. What happens? That resistance builds up. What does it lead to? It leads to resentment. You start to resent your spouse. And that resentment builds up. And when you think that's going to take you to? Rejection. Which is the third R. You reject that person. And you no longer want to be with that person. Whose fault is it? It's your fault. Why didn't you speak out? Yes, he's wrong. His actions are non-justifiable. But you are equally wrong for being silent and for allowing him to treat you the way he's treating you. Or the way she's treating you. So remember these three R's. Don't allow your problems to reach boiling point before you want to do something about it. Because guess what? When it gets to boiling point, it's probably too late to do anything about it. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad.